Greetings and welcome to Shnayim Mikra, the series sponsored by the Orthodox Union hosted at OU.org, in which we investigate a section of each week of this week's parasha, looking at one aliyah per podcast. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom, and I'm excited to be studying Parashat Bo together with you. Begin at the first aliyah, which starts at Perek Yod Pasuk Aleph, which begins, of course, with the famous words Bo El Paro. It's important to look back into Parashat Vayera and see that the words Bo El Paro show up several times there. As a matter of fact, if you take a look at the system or the sequence, or better yet, the cycle of events that we refer to as the Esar Makot, they follow a pattern. And in that pattern, the first of the Makot in a series happens with Moshe giving a warning to Paro at the river in the morning, along with a theological message. The next event, Tzfardea, Dever, is something that Paro was warned about by Moshe in his palace privately. And the third one in the sequence comes without a warning. So we are picking up now in the middle of the final cycle. And Barad, which happened at the end of last week's parasha, was something Paro was warned about publicly with a theological message. You will know that there is none like me, says God. And now we go to Parashat Bo. Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Bo El Paro. Come to Paro, which means come to the palace, come into the throne. Why? Ki ani chbarati et libo v'lev avadav. I have made his heart and the heart of his servants hard and stubborn. Why? L'man shiti ototai ele b'kirbo. Now this ki and l'man, both of them explanatory phrases, are a little bit difficult. L'man shiti ototai ele b'kirbo, in order that I place these signs of mine in his midst. What does that all mean? Seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Moshe, I want you to come to Paro. I want you to challenge him and tell him that he has to let Bnei Israel go, to tell him what's in store. And the reason that this is all playing out, as opposed to you already being free, but the reason you still have to go through this process of approaching Paro is because I've made him stubborn in order for him to stand out so that you can bring these signs, and I will do these signs in his presence. Let's see why. I want you, Moshe, to tell your children and your grandchildren, and it's not just Moshe, it's to all of us, what I have done in Mitzrayim, that ototaya shesamtivam, and the signs that I put there. Vidatem kani Adonai. And this is a clue as to the entire purpose, the purpose of the entire cycle of events that we refer to as the Esar Makot, that the Esar Makot, although evidently directed towards Paro's education and understanding who God is really directed towards Bnei Yisrael. And Bnei Yisrael have to know really who Hashem is. And in order to do that, there had to be a stubborn opponent that Hashem step by step takes down. And besides the retributive component of paying Paro back for the things that he's done, and much has been written about that, there is also an educational component for Bnei Yisrael. So now, that's the message to Moshe. Vayavar Moshe v'Aaron el Paro. So Moshe, and of course Aaron accompanies him every time they go to Paro. Vayimru Elav. Ko'amar Adonai Elohei Ha'ivrim. Vayimru Elav is a little bit tricky. Who's actually speaking here? Is it Moshe speaking quietly to Aaron? Aaron speaks then publicly? Are they saying it together? Because I have to remember, back at the Sneh, when Moshe asked for someone to be sent, and Hashem angrily acceded to allow him to take Aharon with him, Aharon was going to be a spokesperson to Bnei Yisrael, not to Paro. So he says, how long will you refuse to be subservient to me, to accede to me? Shalachami v'yavduni. Again, let my people go that they may serve me. And again, the entire request this whole time has not been to migrate to Canaan, but has been to be able to go out for 3 days for a korban. Ki imayin atal shaleach etami, if you refuse to let my people go, then I'm going to bring locusts. Have you ever seen pictures of a locust plague? or just easier, seen a grove, an orchard, before and after a locust plague, and know that it's several minutes after, it really is awesome the amount of destruction they're able to wreak in a short time. V'chisat ein haaretz, they will cover the land, literally the eye of the land, the sky will be black. V'yuchal erot ha'aretz, you won't be able to see the land. V'yachal et yeter ha'pleita, and they're going to leave, and they're going to eat everything that's still left, ha'nishar lachem min ha'barad, because you just had hail, which destroyed all of the ripe fruit and ripe plants. Now they're going to get everything else. And they'll eat up all the trees. So everything that's growing, you're going to be totally lost. And as they're going to fill up the houses, and the houses of your servants, and the houses of everybody in Egypt, because nobody has ever seen a plague like this before. This will be something unprecedented. And then Moshe turns around and he storms out. There's a message, no response from Paro, he goes. So what happens? So Paro's servants turn to him and say, how long is this going to be a trap for us? Meaning, how long am I going to hold on to these people that are destroying our agriculture, destroying our financial infrastructure, destroying the country? Let them go, let them serve their God. There's an interesting piece to it. When you look at Paro earlier on in the negotiations, you could certainly argue, if you wanted to argue for Paro being reasonable, that Paro has a slave-driven economy, and his predecessor was the one who took Yosef's family, Bnei Yisrael, and turned them into the slaves of the state. We spoke about this a little bit in the context of Parshat Shemot. But now this Paro has inherited such an economy. And you can argue that letting an entire slave nation go out for 3 days, just for 3 days, would be economically irresponsible. However, once the economic destruction far outpaces whatever they might lose by giving them a three-day furlough, then it already becomes an issue of irrationality. Then, at least from a financial perspective, from a leadership perspective, it doesn't make sense. And that's what the servants and the courtiers are saying to Paro. Hatarim tedaki avda Mitzrayim? Don't you know Mitzrayim is lost, is finished? So what happens? Paro listens to his servants. Vayushav et Moshe v'yat Aharon el Paro. So Moshe and Aharon are summoned back to Paro, el Paro. Vayomar lehem l'chu ivdu et Adonai l'rechem. He said, go worship your God. Mi v'mi'alchim. Who's going to go with you? Now Paro expects, of course, that the leaders will go out to do this offering. We're going to take our young kids, our older, our elders. We're going to take our sons and our daughters. And we're going to take our animals. Why are there still animals left after these makot? Good question. It's a festival for God. In other words, unlike what you would expect, where just the leaders go, just the priests go, everybody's going to go. It's a festival for Hashem. He says, indeed, God is with you when I send you and your kids, but you'll see that it's a very bad thing facing you. There's all famous midrash. Ra'a is the name of some sort of plague in the desert or blood, whatever it may be. But Paro is saying, if I send you all out with your kids, you're looking for danger. To go out in the desert with a whole nation, including little kids, that's the kind of thing that only adult men do. He says, no, you just go with the men, take the men. That's what you're asking for. You're asking for an offering. An offering is something that the men do. And what happens, and then something very strange happens. They're chased out. In other words, Paro doesn't wait for Moshe to answer and say, okay, we'll go with the men. Because Paro knows that's not what Moshe is asking for. And whether there's a wink-wink going on here where everybody understands that we're not talking about a three-day holiday, unclear. At this point, it seems like that's being discussed. But the minute that Moshe says, we're going out with everybody, it's very clear to Paro that's what he wants. So when Paro says no to the everybody, there's nothing more to talk about. And he chases Moshe out. And now we have to assume that everybody's getting into a crouching position because they know that when Moshe speaks, that stuff happens. So they all know that Arbez is going to come. And at this point, we have to really wonder, what is it that Paro's thinking? Does he not want to let everybody out because He's afraid of what really is going to happen, that they're not going to come back. Whereas if he just sends the men, he knows they're going to come back. Or is it because he says there's something else going on if you're taking everybody, that's not just a festival? Unclear. But in any case, Paro is done speaking with them. And at this point, the stage is set for Makat Arbet, which we will look at in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.